Take a deep breath. Here we go. And in and out. Take another one. Here we go. In and out. This is really for me. Let's take another one. Here we go. If you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. Here we go. And in and out. And one more. And in and out. Our Father, Lord, we have an intention here right now to be present, to listen to your word, to let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Father, we declare that you are above all gods. You are glorious. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you that your Spirit is with us right now. Speak to us, Lord. I pray this in your precious name. Amen. So I know we have a lot of sports fans in here. So here's a question. What is the difference between a top 10 and a top 100 athlete in the world? Huh? Okay, let's go a little deeper than that. Okay, so this is a conversation we can go on forever. To be honest with you, this is something I've spent 20 years of my life answering. Some of you guys know this. I had the privilege of working with Olympic athletes and some top athletes in the world. And this is something I've been trying to figure out for a long time. What I'm going to share very briefly with you is one of the things that I do think separates, but I call that 4%, 4% difference from the good to the great. And this is it. I believe there's 5 domains for peak performance. Get the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the physical, and the technical domains. Now, here's the thing. We spend a lot of time on the external things around us, the technical, okay? And sports, this technique. These technical things need to do. Now it's foundational. It's the same thing with physical. We spend a lot of time on the physical. But if you want to go to that next level, you need to go inside of you and you need to ask some really important questions. And this is the biggest question that I've found, is what is your why? What is driving you? You see, a why is not in your head. A why is in your heart. When you have a why, you have direction. You're moving towards something. When you have a why, you will press forward and you will push through anything comes your way. A why is very powerful. Walter, why don't you play this quick video for us? I think it's a different one. Give it 30 more seconds and then it doesn't work. I'll explain to you what happened in the video. Okay. So unfortunately, yeah, Rich, if you want to bring up the light. So the video is, thanks for bringing the light in my life. It's great. Thanks, man. So the video is really about Kevin Durant. Do you guys know who Kevin Durant is? He's a basketball player. And in this video, he's talking about, there's something about Kevin Durant. He talks about every time when Kevin Durant scores, he goes like this on the number on the front of his chest. There's a 35 in his chest. And he keeps going like this in his chest. And he said, you know why? Because Kevin Durant. Okay, we'll watch a little bit, okay? Really, yeah. That's okay. That's okay. Good. The sound is not that great. Sorry. It's a very powerful video. Okay. But the reality is this. He has a why. Okay. His coach died when Kevin Durant was 35 years old. Every time when he scores, he pumps that number. He has a why. See, he has the power of a why. You never get there. Because goals on our heads and we try to get there, but a why is you never arrive. You keep going. But Kevin Durant has a why. His coach. He's doing it for his coach. Now, this morning, Paul is going to talk to us about his why. So why don't you guys get your Bibles out or devices, and we're going to go to Philippians 3. And we're going to look at verses 10 to 21. Now, I was supposed to do verses 12 to 21, but I'm going to steal two more, okay? So here we go. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live accordingly to the pattern we gave you. For, as I've often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. There's so much here. So picture this. It's six o'clock in the morning. And you are in a race. You're running. It's really chilly outside because it's early in the morning. But this is not a normal race. There's over 6 billion people running in this race. Everybody in this world is running in this race. But there are a couple things you're noticing as you're running. The first thing is, people are running in all kinds of directions. Some people are running forward, some people are running to the side, some people are running backwards. And you can see it. People are searching for, listen to this, they're searching for direction. There's a desire for direction. The second thing you're noticing is that people are searching for fulfillment. They're searching for happiness. Some people actually you saw stop running. Some of them kind of build a house. You can see they're all about themselves. They're all about acquiring and consuming. They're all about looking prettier and exercising more. It's all about themselves. They're searching. You also notice saying that some people fall down as they're running, and some are getting up, and some don't. See, Paul was a real sports fan. And we'll read in some of his letters, he talks about boxing, he talks about running. This morning, we're going to look at four things that Paul want to give us this morning about how to run our race. He's giving us some tips here and advice on how to run our race. So the first thing is, Paul is telling us, when you run this race, you need to have direction. This is the why. Because here's this thing, you're going to see in verse 10 and 11. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. See, this is Paul's why. Jesus is enough to him. That's all he wants to know. He wants to know Jesus. He's willing, it's not just about the good things about knowing Jesus, he's willing to suffer for Jesus. Everything he needs. And this is what Andrew talked about last week. Everything we need is in Jesus. This is his why. This is why he keeps pressing forward. Now, in sailing, there's a term. It's called the dead reckoning. Now, a dead reckoning is basically if you're on your sailboat, it's the direction you are going. It's like the lighthouse where you're going. But what's fascinating about a dead reckoning is you never go straight in line towards the dead reckoning. You go zigzag. Sometimes the storms actually take you backwards. But you keep focusing on the dead reckoning. You keep looking at the dead reckoning. So when we give our life to Christ, there's a day of justification that happens. And what happens is as you run this race, suddenly you see a light in front of you. There's a dead reckoning. And as you keep running this race, you're going to have to keep going back to the dead reckoning. We have direction. We have powerful direction. What is your why? What direction are you going? The second thing Paul is telling us here this morning is if you fall, get up. You know, Paul's talking about here in verse 12 and following. He said, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold for me, of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, and listen to this, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. See, what Paul is saying here, he's talking about that zigzagging as you're going towards the dead reckoning. There's a place for justification, but we're talking about sanctification here. We make mistakes. We make mistakes. We fall. And Paul is saying that he fell too. But the important thing is to forget about what's behind you, but to keep pressing forward. Listen to me. We all are going to fall. The guilt and the shame is going to hold us down on the ground. But because of God's, what Jesus did on the cross for us, we can get up. Let's try another video. I don't know, I'm just getting emotional right now. We are going to fall. Get up. Get up. This is where the devil wants us to be, is being down there and feel our shame and our guilt. Because of Jesus, we can get up. Get up. Did you see the urgency you was running at? We're running this race. We're running this race. Press forward. Get up. The third thing Paul is telling us, it's not about you. It's not about me. Now listen to this. Paul's talking about the opposite here. Let me see what verse 19. Their destruction
their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. This doesn't make sense. Listen to this. By emptying yourself, you are going to fill yourself up. Let me say it again. By emptying yourself, you fill yourself up. It doesn't make sense. Logically, it doesn't make sense to us. We have this fascinating, fascinating example of the Dead Sea. Walter, if you want to bring up that picture, that'll be great. What's fascinating about the Dead Sea is this. The Dead Sea has an inlet going to the Dead Sea, but there's no outlet. What's really interesting is the Dead Sea is shrinking. The scientists are shaking their heads. Actually, as we speak right now, they're pumping all kinds of water into the Dead Sea to save it. There's one inlet, there's nothing going out, and it's shrinking. Look at that. What's fascinating is, it's about 90 miles upstream, you get the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee has an inlet and it has an outlet, and the outlet goes to the Dead Sea. And the Sea of Galilee is vibrant. It's this beautiful place. It's an incredible place. See, here's the thing. When you keep receiving and you're not giving, you are dying. You're the Dead Sea. You're shrinking. It logically doesn't make sense. But of you receiving and you giving, you're going to be vibrant. It's not about you. It's amazing to me. We so systematically and consistently consume. We so systematically and consistently exercise to look better. But we don't systematically and consistently give. Now, don't take me wrong. I mean, look at the boxes here. We got so many givers in this church. But I want to remind you, if you don't feel well, go and do something for somebody else. By emptying yourself, you will be filled up. It doesn't make sense. Trust me, I work with some of the most successful people in the world. If I had the privilege, and they got millions of dollars, and they are unhappy. Not all of them, but a lot of them. It's because they don't always have that outlet. So remember, so Paul's telling us so far, the first thing he told us, you need to have direction. When you're running, you need to have direction. You're directing. The second thing is, when you fall down, you get up. Because of God's grace and His mercy in our lives. The third thing is, it's not about you. He's teaching us one more lesson. It's a fourth lesson. The lesson is this. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you are. And we'll look here at verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. We are sons and daughters of God. Don't forget that. And also, that what's ahead of us is even better. With that being said, we have a responsibility. We're running this race right now. We have a responsibility right now. We need to have direction. And when we fall, we need to get up. And we need to help the people around us. We have a responsibility. But the amazing thing is, the best is still to come. A pastor was sitting at the bedside of an elderly woman, and she's dying. She's dying of cancer. And he already took a lot of time. She has 2 days left, apparently. He took a lot of time with her to kind of really look at the
funeral and how that's going to look like. But
he sat down to the side of a bed and he looked at her. He said, "Mary, do you have another wish?" She had this twinkle in her eye. She looked at him. She said, "Pastor, yes, there is. When they bury me, can you make sure that they put a fork in my right hand?" And the pastor's like, "Sure, Mary, we can do that. But people are going to ask me why there's a fork in your right hand. Tell me." She put all her strength together. She looked up at the pastor. She said, "Pastor, through the years, after our church functionings and some other events I've been at, the best thing ever for me was at the end of the meal, and they come around, they pick up the plates, and they tell me, 'Leave your fork.'" She said, "That was the best thing ever." Pastor looked at her and said, "Why, Mary?" She said, "Because I knew what is coming is going to be better. It's not going to be jello for dessert, not even ice cream. It's going to be something with substance. It's going to be cake or something like that. I'm telling you this story. Every time when you look at that fork again, remember something better is coming." So we're running this race. We're all running this race. Remember to have direction. You have direction. When you fall down, get up. It's not about you. And remember who you are. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we just praise your name. Thank you for your mercy and grace in our lives, Lord. Thank you that you are with us in this race. We're not alone. Your Holy Spirit is with us to strengthen us and guide us and direct us. Thank you for helping us. And Lord, thank you for knowing what's ahead of us. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen.